All right, podcasters, welcome back. It is May 9th, hanging out here with the three nerdy Romans tonight, and it is inviting a special podcaster by the name Sir Gujan. We've got a special lady podcaster over there, too. Amy, give us a little shout-out. Talking about world history per usual. On deck tonight, we're talking about the Crusades, of course. But what are the Crusades? How do we define them? Through it here tonight, we'll see what happens. Signing off for a little bit, but I'll be coming back in. This is Sir Gujan, but I'm going to pass it off here to Jay Virtus 22.
All right, this is Mr. Shank, a.k.a. Jay Virtus. And we are going to talk to you about the Crusades. This is what this is dedicated to today. We're going to talk about the Crusades and Pope Urban II. What about Pope Urban? Do you know Inquisitor?
Well, he's an idiot.
That's a little harsh.
Yeah, well, he did call the First Crusade just because the Byzantine Emperor Alexius I asked for help. He didn't even really like them. He just wanted to kill all the Muslims.
And Alexius is a
Byzantine emperor.
Yeah, is formerly basically a Roman emperor, right?
Yes, yes, yes. The pretty much the equivalent of a Roman emperor, the Eastern Roman Empire.
True, true that.
And this all takes place in 1096
to 1099.
Yes, Pope Urban calls the First Crusade with his speech at Clermont, where he calls for the destruction of all those who oppose Christianity and reconquering the Holy Land.
And he really travels around Europe to try to get people excited about the Crusade. Basically, go and die on the Crusade.
Like, yeah, and he offers remission of sins if you die on the Crusade.
They don't know what remission means.
Very true. Our vocabulary disinclined. If you go and die on Crusade, then you get to skip purgatory and go.
What's purgatory?
To heaven. Purgatory is the step in between death and heaven, right? We die, we go to purgatory to suffer until we are worthy of going to heaven.
Sounds like a great place.
It is.
So the it's actually not a king crusade, it's more of a noble crusade.
Yes.
I mean, we have Bohemond, we have Godfrey, we have Baldwin. These are all nobles, not kings, but nobles of Europe.
Yes.
They're not kings, but they're saying, hey, basically, if I go on this, what will happen if I go on this crusade, this first crusade, Mr. Woods, Inquisitor, what will happen?
The goal is to conquer as much territory in the Holy Land as possible, establish a wealth base for themselves, ensure that they are going to go to heaven, and basically to free the Holy Land, air quotes, Holy Land.
What's the Holy Land?
The Holy Land is the area of sort of Jerusalem, Tripoli, Edessa, Antioch, the what will later become known as the Crusader States, the area where Jesus lived and died.
Jebus.
J-E-B-U-S.
Jebus. there's a lot of learning going on right now, and I hope you're ready for it. So, the First Crusade, these nobles are trying to take back Jerusalem. That's their ultimate goal, because we know how much value Jerusalem really has. They have Dome of the Rock, which it's Muslim, but it's also, it relates where Abraham
was going to sacrifice his son.
Yeah, and his son would be Isaac.
Yes.
And he didn't do that, and he actually sacrificed a
ram.
A ram?
Yeah, it was a ram.
It was a ram? I thought it was a sheep.
Its horns were stuck in
I thought it was a lamb.
Its horns were stuck in the brush.
I feel like
he brought the ram.
He sacrificed
the
lizard. What did he really sacrifice?
Its rams were
stuck. Let's look at the Bible.
Calm down, Gospel, Matt.
All right, we have the third Noni Roman looking up exactly what was sacrificed that night.
So
it could have been a pizza
truth.
Pie.
Could have been a pizza pie. Well, I'll get Aragorn. Wish I was King of Gondor.
Who isn't King of Gondor, though? So we're waiting for you.
Waiting on you, Captain Bible.
But, anyways, so, and the Crusade, the First Crusade, they actually,
it was the only one that was really successful.
Yeah, for the Christians, the Latin Christians, it was the only one that was actually successful. Because they gained places like Antioch, Edessa, Tripoli, and Jerusalem. With, I think they started out with around maybe 50,000 men.
Yeah, sounds about right.
It's around there. The statistics are kind of
Well, I mean, we're 1,000 years removed from the situation. We're relying on old record keeping and what has survived to tell us what happened. So some of the math may be off, but probably around 50,000. I think that's a fair number.
But after the Crusades happened and after the Christians, the Latin Christians, conquered all the area, they gained Antioch, Edessa, Tripoli, Jerusalem, and those were called the Crusader states.
Why would you say obviously by the Christians? I mean, don't the Muslims have a fighting chance?
Well, they owned the territory to begin with. It was the Christians who were on a mission to conquer land. The Muslims were simply defending their own territory at that point. We often vilify them, but unnecessarily so.
He said that God should provide a lamb, and then said, then the ram appeared because his horns were caught.
But, yeah, so anyways,
although, on the side note, Edessa was actually a Christian city. Alright.
But who ends up winning the, or the First Crusade, sorry.
Well, First Crusade, the Christians do conquer a majority of the land, and, then they pretty much have residence in the Holy Land for about 50 years, until the start of the Second Crusade.
But the thing is, once they conquer it, though, when they went through Antioch, Edessa, Tripoli, all that, it took a lot of soldiers out of them.
Yeah, they didn't have much to defend land.
I think they had probably around 13,000 soldiers.
Yeah, I was going to say 10. That's probably pretty close. 13.
They probably had
spread between all four major territories.
They had 1/3 of their forces from what they actually had in the beginning. And really, no one gave them any credit for actually, you know, getting Jerusalem. They were like, oh, there's no way you can actually defeat Jerusalem with 1/3 of your forces. But surprisingly, they actually did.
Although on the sad side of the conquest of Jerusalem is once they did make it inside the city, the Christians did...
Brutal.
Call and really drag every Islamic person, man, woman, and child, out into the streets and slaughter them within the city walls. So it was really a... Well, oftentimes, especially today with the political climate that we live in, we see a lot of hate crimes against Christianity done, and we look upon that negatively when really, you know, a number of years ago, Christians were just as bad.
Yeah.
It's an extremist in every sense of the word, but it goes both ways.
It is, and that's the thing, like, knowing about your history, like, so many people today are like, oh, Christians would never actually do that, but then you look at the atrocities of history, and you look, Christians actually slaughtered Muslims like they were cattle.
Yes.
Flat out, like, you know, men, women, children. It really didn't matter. And the Muslims have, even to this day, 1,000 years later, they still remember that that slaughter fest. It really was. It was awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no regard for human life. I think it's Marv Albert would say that from, like, what is it, NBA Jam? Something like that.
Yeah.
With no regard for human life. He trains a three. Something like that. But we know the First Crusade was clearly won by the...
Christians.
The Christians. And that's really the only time
That's the last time they win. The closest they come is the Third Crusade after that.
The closest they did.
It's not even really a draw. You know, I told my students, you know, it's sort of like a tie, but in reality, the Muslims come out of it better than the Christians do.
And when we talk about Muslim, we talk about the Saracens, right?
Yes, yes.
The Saracens. And especially in the Second and Third Crusade, we're going to see a kind of consolidation of Muslim power, really.
Yeah.
But what does crusade actually mean, though?
A crusade is a conquest of land in order to reconquer a territory for the Christians.
But what would the Muslims say?
The Muslims would call it a jihad.
A jihad?
Struggle.
Against
the Christians, in this case.
But it also can mean
could
what?
Could be an internal struggle.
Inside their hearts.
Yes.
Which is, everyone says jihad's a bad thing, but it could be a jihad
a jihad as a, you know, a political holy war, but that's not really what it means. The word itself means struggle, a struggle against whatever you are feeling internally or externally in the case of the Crusades.
So you could technically have a jihad against, like, destiny,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
A struggle against destiny. I can't I can't win, much like the Wingapoo can't
stay out past 9 o'clock.
He gets very tired. So the Second Crusade, it starts out at 1144, and it starts really with the county of Edessa. The county of Edessa was attacked and taken over by the Muslims. And that really frustrated the Christians. The Christians were kind of out of whack by that. They were almost looking instantly for a crusade, because we understand with the First Crusade, we had Christian states with Antioch, Edessa, Tripoli, Jerusalem.
Yeah, they felt it was an attack against their religion.
Yeah, an attack against their faith, against their religion. And they were very upset about that. And in retaliation, we have people like Louis III and his wife, Eleanor of Aquitaine, which we have talked about several times. Eleanor of Aquitaine, which is the French kind of, if you were looking for women history, she is the epitome of powerful women.
Yeah, powerful ruling, and she was able to rule in her own right. She had a legitimate claim to power in her own right. Very powerful woman, very capable in her own, and oftentimes after the passing of her later husband, Henry, she actually did rule for John Lackland and her son, Richard.
Very precise there, Mr. Woods.
Yes, precise is my middle name.
I'm glad you're drinking Baja Blast, because that is probably the most refreshing drink you will ever experience.
It's delicious. Delicious. It tastes like heaven.
Baja Blast. Drink it or else. You're not cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, I'm kidding, kids. You can drink water and it's okay.
Yeah. Baja Blast is limited time only. Yeah. After that, you have to go to Taco Bell and feel bad about yourself drinking it.
So. Taco Bell is not a bad place to be. But anyways, the county of Edessa was taken by the Muslims and in 1144. And so this is like what? Around what? You want to say 800 or so? Around 850 some years ago, right? Roughly?
Yeah, that's pretty good accurate. I would say, what's that? Yeah, about 850 years ago.
Around 850 years ago. I know it's hard to imagine, but there was stuff going on 850 years ago.
Yeah, you know, we tend to think of, especially when we look back at the world, that history, you know, oh, well, 100 years ago, life was pretty rough. Well, 100 years ago, we didn't have computers, and we didn't have, you know, we were just on the edges of flight. You know, history grows exponentially. So we go back, you know, 100,000 years, and it's early man, and within that time period, really after the Black Death and after the Renaissance, everything just grows on an amazing scale to where we are today.
Well said. But after the Second Crusade, if you want to watch the most complicated movie of all time, what movie would that be, Mr. Woods?
Kingdom of Heaven.
And who stars in that movie, Mr. Woods?
Legolas? Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom.
Best known as Legolas. Or, I don't know, whatever his character from Pirates of the Caribbean is.
But anyways, about the Second Crusade, the big thing is, with that movie, no lie, it is a very complicated movie unless you know and understand what is actually going on. So Jerusalem falls after the horns of Tatine and a big blunder by the Christians. And that happens around 1187, once Saladin realizes that, hey, I completely destroyed the Christian army. He goes and he attacks in 1187. And he takes back Jerusalem for the Muslims. Mr. Woods, do you want to continue that epic?
So Salah ad-Din shows up to the walls of Jerusalem, and he lays siege to the city for several days, and is able to breach the walls of the city, enter the city, and he ends up calling a sort of what you would call a truce, I suppose, with the defenders of Jerusalem.
And who's the defender of Jerusalem?
The famous one is Balian of Eblin.
So, Legolas.
Yes. Orlando Bloom, if you watched the movie Kingdom of Heaven, is played by Balin of Evelyn.
Legolas.
He is one of many.
He's really cool. Let's be real. He's really cool.
He gets immortalized by the film. He is cool. He does defend the city, makes this pact with Saladin, and he is able to ensure that the Christians of the city of Jerusalem will be allowed safe passage to the coast and to the Mediterranean and able to sail back to Latin Christendom. And they are not attacked at all or disturbed by the Muslim forces on their way back to Europe. And after that, the Muslims gain control of Jerusalem.
Yeah, and now they're in complete control of Jerusalem, and the Christians are not happy at all about the Muslims. They'd be the Saracens. Now, Jerusalem, the city, they occupy, but later we'll discover that Jerusalem, the territory, is actually a lot larger than just the city. It's almost like a city-state, wouldn't it be, Mr. Woods?
Yeah, I think that's a fair equivalent.
Okay. But this will kind of prompt the Third Crusade, which is probably way more epic, where we have Richard the Lionheart, we have Philip Augustus, we have Frederick Barbarossa. We know Barbarossa means Mr. Woods. What does Barbarossa mean?
Red beard.
Red beard. So if the third nerdy Roman was here, he does have a legitimate red beard that he could showcase.
Right, I think it's fair to say that we will add a picture, right about cue picture, of Mr. Limbrick displaying his red beardedness.
He does have an epic red beard. If you don't know Mr. Limbrick, you can call him by Barbarossa, or you can also call him the Wingaposa. So, but the Third Crusade actually started in 1187. Once the Christians realized that the Jerusalem was taken by the Muslims, and the Muslims were actually, you know, they were pretty good about, you know, not killing everybody like the Crusaders did in the First Crusade.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Third Crusade, really called for by Latin Christendom to go back and reconquer the Holy Land. Your major players, Richard the Lionhearted, Frederick Barbarossa, and Philip Augustus, do make a pact that they're going to go back to the Holy Land and reconquer that land for Christianity. However, only Richard the Lionhearted is the one to make it there.
But I got some things about Richard the Lionheart. Richard the Lionheart actually, as he's trying to get funds for this crusade, he actually legitimately sells Excalibur. And Excalibur, we know, hopefully some of you know, from King Arthur, you know, pulling the Excalibur, the sword, from the stone. He sold this for a couple of ships to get to the Holy Land. People believe that this sword was Excalibur. And we know Excalibur, real or not real, was more than likely from Roman times. And Richard Lionheart is a legendary character. Even before the Crusade, he was a warrior king. And we know that he went down with Barbarossa. And Mr. Woods, what happened to Barbarossa as he was trying to get to Jerusalem in Anatolia? What actually happened to Barbarossa?
Well, he failed his swim class there, Mr. Shank. he went into the river and...
Where were his floaties?
I don't know. I guess he forgot his floaties that day. He went out into the river and he never came back. We don't know the exact circumstances of his drowning, but we do know that Frederick Barbarossa did drown on his way to the Holy Land.
I wonder if any of his soldiers tried to help him.
I feel like they probably just watched and said, "Oh, there's no way we can get there in time."
Why would they not get there in time?
Because they wanted his land.
It's all about the land. No trouble. But
and then Philip II, why he didn't make it to the Holy Land, he went halfway and then said, you know what, I can go back and just conquer all the territory that really belongs to France that England has taken because John sucks.
I mean, John really did. He was awful. I mean, Philip II.
John being who?
Lackland or Softsword, however you want to call him. But he actually did, Philip Augustus did go back. He basically got an argument with Richard, and he just flat out went back to France. And we know Philip Augustus was the head of France, and he was trying to take advantage of John. You know, John was actually the favorite child of all of the English kings.
That explains his mom being so protective over him. I mean, she really.
Who was his mom?
That would be Eleanor of Aquitaine.
She was everywhere, wasn't she?
She really was. Everywhere in history, you look for medieval Europe, you will see Eleanor of Aquitaine.
But, yeah, Eleanor was John's mother, and she was kind of... John would always ask for advice from Eleanor. And when Philip Augustus came back, John was kind of frightened and not sure. And really, things... He started losing territory. That's kind of where the Lack Land comes from. While Richard was really fighting off the Muslims and doing his thing in the Holy Land, that's where you have... John kind of losing all the land and being a complete, I don't say idiot, but kind of, yeah. He was, there's a reason your name is John Lackland, because you don't know how to handle yourself.
Did you know that Richard actually spent most of his time in the Holy Land sick?
He was very sick, and actually he didn't know how to speak English. Did you know that?
Yeah, he was French, mostly French. And actually, at one point, he tries to sell the city of London. He hates England so much, even though he's the king of England. He tries to sell the city of London, but he doesn't have a buyer. Nobody will buy the city from him.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yeah, he put it out on eBay, but he couldn't get a first bid, so... he ended up stuck with England.
Richard the Lionheart actually, like I said, he could not speak English. He was actually good friends with Philip Augustus for a while. I don't know, many people don't realize that. He went against Henry the Second? Yeah, it was Henry the Second.
Well, that's right? His dad. Henry the Second.
Yeah, no, he, yeah. Him... Philip Augustus and Richard the Lionheart went against Henry II. And Henry II, obviously being Richard the Lionheart's father, did not enjoy that at all and was very frustrated by his son. That's why his son John, was actually the favorite out of all of them. But Richard stayed in the Holy Land most of the time.
For a second.
Mr. Woods is very good at catching flies or mosquitoes in the nighttime.
It's the quickness.
He has Jedi skills. But as we continue from the Third Crusade, we know it starts in 1187.
How does it end?
Well, it ends with Richard actually being the... What we haven't really talked about... We know Philip II went back. We know Barbarossa died... going to the Holy Land. But what we don't understand is that Richard actually was able to gain because he was so... And he traveled by sea. I don't know if you know this.
Yes. Yeah.
He traveled by sea. And he gained a decent amount of Barbarossa's men. Not all of them. A lot of them came back with Barbarossa's son. Barbarossa, I believe, was the second? Or so. Was it...
Frederick
the Second. So... Richard had some Germans. He also had some French, because when Philip Augustus went back, not all of them went back as well. But it just kind of sees that if every one of Philip Augustus and Barbarossa and Richard, all the English and French and German, was stayed, we would have had a very different war, for sure. And we understand that Richard actually took what area, Mr. Woods?
Acre.
I mean, you know.
And if you play Assassin's Creed, you can actually go to the city in the first game of Acre and see him giving a speech outside of the city.
Is it the first, very first game?
The very first game. Very first game. Back in, 1982. A little bit longer than that. I think that was, 2006. Somewhere there.
I actually looked at the YouTube video, and you can see Richard Lionheart giving his speech. It's pretty epic.
From horseback.
Is it from horseback?
I feel like part of it's from horseback.
I don't think it's from horseback.
Maybe that's Saladin. 'Cause you can see
Maybe that. It's Saladin. But anyways, so we know that as Richard, he realizes that he cannot, he takes Acre, he takes other counties in the Holy Land, but he realizes with his forces, with his depleted, and he's going to the coastline. I don't know if you know that, but he went down, Mr. Woods, he went down the coastline. This is all from that I've learned from the history of the Crusades, another podcast.
Which makes sense. I mean, it gives him access to supply lines from Europe.
Well, that's what was happening. He was getting supplies from his ships. They were moving down the coastline as he's walking down the coastline. But keep in mind that Saladin is constantly shooting at him as he goes along this trek down towards Jerusalem. And by the time he gets close to Jerusalem, he decides that, hey, this is not going to work for me.
As Richard is working his way down across the Holy Land, he does eventually encounter the city of Jerusalem and attacks the city of Jerusalem, mainly Saladin's forces. And there is a pitched battle in which neither force fights. Both Richard and Saladin are ill at the time. And they do call a sort of a peacetime to the battle, I would say. I would call it a ceasefire, in which the two forces meet until they negotiate a treaty between the two, in which Muslims agree to remain in control of Jerusalem and the Holy Land, but they allow Christians, unarmed, to make pilgrimage to the city freely. Anytime they would like, they are welcome in the city to worship as they will, as long as they remain unarmed and an unthreatening presence. And that's really where we see the rise of what will later be the Templar Knights. The Knights Templar and the Knights Hospitaller.
What's Hospitaller mean?
Well, that's where we get the term hospital from, isn't it, Mr. Shank?
Yeah, it is where hospitals come from, because they were actually going for injured crusaders, and they had the Hospitaller's hospital. That's where they came from. Hospitaller's. So, as the Third Crusade ends, we know there's a treaty signed by Saladin. And it's actually kind of curious, because if Richard would have stayed in the Holy Land a little bit longer, maybe a couple more months, he might have actually been able to conquer Jerusalem on his own.
Yeah.
But Saladin died, and Richard was nowhere to kind of be found. And if Richard would have kind of stayed for a while that Easter, he would have been, more than likely, he could have made an attack on Jerusalem, and he would have had Jerusalem. I mean, I feel like he probably would have. You know, that's up for historians to debate, but without your leader, without Saladin, you know, dying, he didn't die from assassins. It was kind of natural causes, wasn't
it? Yes, yeah. That's my understanding. Prolonged sickness that he had. There was no real suspicion of poison or assassins being present.
He just flat out died. I mean, it's sad for a great leader like that, even of, Islam, to die. But, I mean, it is what it is. You know, Richard, he actually, when he went back to Europe, I mean, he died of an arrow shot fighting against the French. He died that way.
March 25th, which 1190s.
Which, I did a little more research, and he actually had a lot of struggles. When he went on his way back, he did by sea. And the ship wrecked, of course, because apparently every ship sucked back then. And he wrecked, and somehow, I don't understand how so many of them were able to find land after they wrecked. But they found land. He found land, and he was able to go, and he said, hey, screw that, I'm not going on another ship. I'm going to go on by land. And he goes by land to get back to, you know, France, and he actually gets captured. He gets captured by the French, and he's there just kind of chilling for a while. Richard, this great king of England, and, you know, he kind of falls from grace for a while.
England ransoms him.
They do. England ransoms. They ransom him, and eventually he is returned to England. But by the time that he's returned to England, he is kind of a shell, of his former self. And, you know, he is fighting in a war. And he's always been this kind of guy who, I'm going to be in the front line of battle. I'm going to do what it takes to win this war. And he gets killed. I mean, he gets an arrow shot. I'm not sure exactly to his neck.
Neck, shoulder area.
Mr. Woods says neck to shoulder area.
He dies from the infection about 3 days after.
Gangrene?
Yep, gangrene.
Gangrene. The infection that will kill many people. So he's gone, and the successor would be John Lackland.
Unfortunately,
even though that Henry II, his father, has been long dead, and he's excited to be the king, it's not exactly what you want. You don't want John Lackland or John Softsword, whatever awful name you want to say. John the First is John the Worst. He is not what you want as King of England. But anyways, this kind of prompts the Fourth Crusade. So we know the Third Crusade, it lasts from 1187 to 1192. You know, we're talking some 800 or so years ago. And the Fourth Crusade, it starts with Pope Innocent III. Pope Innocent III calls for a crusade. And the Fourth Crusade is probably the most ridiculous crusade out of all of them. Mr. Woods, you want to kind of continue?
And the Fourth Crusade is really sort of out of sorts. I mean, the crusaders gather, they journey as far as Italy, and while in Italy, they become immersed in Italian politics, where they are sort of persuaded by the Italian merchants to attack the city of Constantinople and take away Constantinople's power as a trading center.
And the Fourth Crusade is kind of considered a complete disaster because Christians are attacking Christians and nothing goes right. And it's basically considered a complete failure, and a lot of people know this, but in 2001, Pope John Paul of the Roman Catholic Church actually apologizes for the Fourth Crusade. He legitimately says, hey, we're sorry for attacking a Greek Orthodox religion. We didn't even come close to Jerusalem. We're sorry. You know, it took, you know what? 800 years to do, and it's over. And it's sad to say, but it took him 800 years to realize it. I think he died like 3 years later, John Paul. And then we obviously have, well, Pope Benedict, equivalent to Emperor Palpatine. They looked the same, they acted the same. And then Francis came in, Pope Francis, and
European Pope.
He was the first non-European Pope, and he came from South America.
Brazil.
He came from Brazil.
No American Pope, so.
No American Popes, but was not a success at all. The Christians killed Christians, and it literally was a complete disaster. But there are a couple of things that come out of it. If we're talking about even before the Fourth Crusade, we're talking about the Knights Templar, the Hospitallers Knights, and the Teutonic Knights. These all came out of the Crusades. And really what the Templar Knights are Latin Christians who have dedicated their lives to protecting the Christians that are coming in from Europe, you know, as they're coming in, protect them from Muslims, flat out. You know, Muslims might attack them, take their goods.
Bandits. And,
yeah, bandits.
Plus they set up the banking.
The banking system. Mr. Woods wants to talk about the banking system. Go for it.
So the Knights Templar sets up a banking system to aid in the travel of pilgrims to the Holy Land after the Crusade. They agree to, they take basically whatever the wealth of a noble has into their possession in, say, Italy, for example. And for a rate, they will agree to write a letter or a note, like we might call a bank note today. And the person may take that note to a bank in the Holy Land and exchange it for their wealth less the interest or the fee that is imposed upon them. Very similar to if you are to send, say, like a Western Union money transfer today. You know, you pay a certain amount to transfer your money from point A to point B. They would do that back then in order to ensure that their goods would not be stolen on their trip, on their pilgrimage. And then the Knights Templar would also physically protect them and their persons on their way to the Holy Land to ensure that they got there.
The question is Lord of the Rings with the elephants, is that real? We're watching that right now, and it looks really real. Is that an actual representation of what it was back then?
That would be the Battle of Zama. Between Hannibal and
Zama,
the Romans.
Zama,
yeah, between Hannibal and the Romans. Actually, he only got like 3 elephants across the Alps.
Was it really? No, it was more than that.
He didn't have very. He only took like 14 to begin with.
No, he took more than that.
Well,
I think he took in the 20s, didn't he?
How many elephants? Hold on, let's ask Siri.
I think.
We're
way off topic, but I think he took. Close to 20. And
how
I,
many elephants
at
did
least
Hannibal
dozen, at least
take
dozen.
Across the Alps?
Okay, I found this on the web for how many elephants did Hannibal take across the Alps?
Maybe 12 made it.
3 entered Italy.
No. Google's a liar. Clearly wrong.
Between 37 and 38 that he crossed with, and approximately 3 to 5 that he entered Italy with.
What time frame are we talking about?
Way back, 200s BC.
200s BC, so we're talking 200 years before Christ.
Around 219 years before
Man,
Christ.
Those were elephants in Lord of the Rings.
The Mumakil.
They are legit.
Oliphants.
They're stomping on people. They are...
Well, here comes the Witch King. He's about to take down Theoden.
Yeah, well...
Boom!
Oh, it's a good scene. And he falls, and he's unconscious. Anyways, but, so we know that the Knights Templar actually, they protect, you know, Crusaders.
You know, I saw a Templar Knight's grave when I was in Ireland.
Alright, you don't need to rub it in, but...
There was a Templar Knight buried at a small church in Ireland. They had, like, the symbols carved into the stone under the top of the church.
What if I told you I was a Knights Templar?
I would ask you, if I am a man traveling from the west, seeking a point in the east, you would be... I don't know, I watched The Mummy too many times. I'm a man traveling east, seeking knowledge.
I'd be a guy...
Be a guy who doesn't care what you say.
Watching Lord of the Rings. But, she's actually really good at fighting.
Surprisingly. Oh, wait, her arm's going to get broken. Here it comes.
No.
3, 2, 1, boom! There it is.
Is it broken, though?
It has to be. You know, she actually suffers after this from what is called the Black Breath.
Some of our students suffer from that, so.
Yeah, Monday mornings especially. It is a disease.
The Black Breath.
It's a disease brought on by the Nazgul, or the Ringwraiths, that both her and Faramir suffer from, and that's why they end up hooking up after this movie. Here comes the King of the Dead, though.
All right, he jumps out of the boat.
Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli. In other words, Mr. Woods, Mr. Shank, and Mr. Limburg.
The three nerdy Romans. I think Limburg looks a little shorter than I thought.
Yeah, I think so. But the red beard's right.
What happened to him? You know? Or where'd he go? You know?
He got covered up by everyone.
That's a lot of green soldiers destroying people. Just saying.
I feel like they should have showed up a little bit earlier because it saved a lot of lives.
They could have, but they were procrastinating, much like our students might procrastinate on their homework assignments, you know?
Wait until the last moment to do all 250 people of their people's packet.
That's true. People packets. Oh. Anyways, according to...
He was no man.
No.
He was a hobbit.
Yeah, that's it. Nope. Oh, this is a good scene. It's not a very good scene. She's very unauthentic. But she does destroy the Black
Witch
Knight.
King of Angmar.
But anyways, back back to the Crusades. Which we went through 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Hey, here you go.
Yeah, this is like my favorite scene when Legolas climbs on that elephant, gets on the horn, climbs
takes
the leg
down by himself.
Climbs, he's on the leg. It's just like me in high school. This is exactly like me in high school. Shooting arrows. I don't know how he balances.
I don't know. He's got some
agility there.
Like, it's like a 90-degree angle, and he's just balancing.
He rolled a roll of 20.
He's going to kill this elephant, like Lord of the Rings does, and he's going to say, it only counts as one, I guarantee you. And he gets on top of the elephant, gets a couple arrows, and he starts, you know, three arrows right in the head. Three in the head.
Slides down
his trunk. Watch for it. Wait for it.
That still only counts as one.
But
Aragorn doesn't even care.
Yeah, Aragorn just, he just keeps killing. But, hey, Mr. Woods, you want to talk about Hashashins?
So they are a sort of a religious extremist sect of Muslims who organize themselves in defense of Islam. But we know them from the Assassin's Creed video games, where when you play the first game, you play as an assassin, Altair, around the time of the Third Crusade. But the goal is to remove key members of the Latin Christian Crusaders from power in order to reconquer the Holy Land for the Muslim power.
Yeah, that's basically exactly it. You know, the Hashashins were almost equivalent to the Knights Templar. You know, they filled. That's where we kind of get the assassins from. And later, they would have a children's crusade, right, Mr. Woods?
They would sort of be able to gather together as a force and unarmed march to the city of Jerusalem and basically just demand that the Holy Land be given back to them on the fact that they were kids wanting it. And we all know that children want what they want, but they often don't get that.
Well, what happened was they actually went to, you know, they came from France. And there was they were Italian merchants, we'll say. And they were, we'll ship you to the promised lands, what they promised. And so you have seven ships that these basically Italian merchants have formatted. And they're sailing along, and these Christian children's crusaders are under 12 years old, keep in mind. And they're sailing along, they're having a good time. Like, oh yeah, we're going to conquer Jerusalem, we're 12 years old, we know everything, we got it under control. And actually, in reality, they were shipped to the Muslims of like the Carthage region. And all those children that were 12 and under on the seven ships were betrayed, and they all became enslaved. They became slaves, and they went down to Africa. And I think the two Venetians, well, they weren't Venetians, but they were Italians, or they were merchants. Let's just say that they were merchants. They might have been French merchants, whatever, Italian merchants. And everyone was super upset about this, obviously, because you're looking at how many you think, Mr. Woods, Christian children being killed?
I would say somewhere between 10 and 15,000, easy.
Yeah, at least 10 to 15,000 Christian kids being killed. And so everyone was super upset about this. And the Chosen Crusade was a complete disaster. But they tried it again. They tried another Children's Crusade. And did it work out, Mr. Woods?
Yeah, no. The answer to that one would be no. It's sort of like, dismissing lunch from the cafeteria. It just, nobody ever does what they're told, and messes get left behind. People get enslaved, captured, killed. Well, maybe that doesn't happen.
On the way to lunch?
On the way to lunch.
Sometimes it might happen on the way to lunch.
You never know. We don't do a count. So it's hard to know what happens to some kids.
That's true. Some kids might get lost.
Into Mr. Woods' room.
Or Mr. Woods' room.
And hide his mirror stick.
They might just randomly disappear. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's crazy how children, they know everything. They know everything. Everything there is. I mean, sometimes you wonder why we even have teachers.
Why do we even do our jobs?
Yeah, I mean, why are we even here? I mean, children know everything. And it's evident by the crusade that they had. They had two crusades. And the one was a German crusade, and most of them came down to Rome. And when they went down to Rome, Pope Innocent III basically said, hey, your children, you don't know what you're doing. You have no idea what it takes to have a crusade. And they were like, all right. So some of them actually went to Jerusalem, and we have no idea what happened to them. Some of them went back home. A lot of them died on the way back home to Germany. And some of them just flat out stayed in Jerusalem. And that was it. That was it of the Chosen Crusade. It was kind of an embarrassing thing. I think it was Stephen. Stephen kind of led the first Children's Crusade. So there's also the Spanish Crusade. Mr. Woods knows a lot about the Spanish Crusade.
With the Spanish Inquisition, not to be confused with myself as Inquisitor. But yeah, the Spanish Crusade is the, and as we kind of mentioned this before in our last episode, the goal is that the Christians in Spain, eventually led by Ferdinand and Isabella, plan to eradicate Muslim forces from Spain and create Spain as a Christian kingdom.
But yeah, the Spanish Inquisition was very brutal, and people died, and Mr. Woods knows more about how intense those people dying, how they died exactly was.
Well, make me out to be a sadist. But some of the methods of execution for those heretics, and heretic being non-believers or anyone who goes against the established belief of the Catholic or Christian church, they would take them and there's many different things they did, from the calipers, where they would take and break individual bones and pull off fingers and toes, to hot irons, drawing and quartering, drowning, dunking, and the ultimate torture is to be flayed.
Is that dunking like dunking on like Kevin Durant, LeBron James, like dunking on a basketball hoop?
Well, none of our students would know anything about either. this dunking that we're referring to is to be fastened to a chair and then repeatedly lowered into a tub of water. Submerged to the point where you think you're going to drown and then
I got it. I'm tough. I get it. You know, like, I'm tough. It doesn't matter. I dunk me in water, whatever. You know, I got it.
Until the third time it happens, and then you would all cry because you're eighth graders. but you imagine these people who maintained their faith chose not to, and all you really had to do during the Inquisition was say that you renounced your faith and that you would agree to take Christianity, but these people were not willing to do that. They held out their belief.
But why?
Because they were faithful. Unlike many of the questions we get, well, why didn't they just say, yeah, I'll believe in whatever you say, just stop torturing me. Because their belief was that if they did that, they would not reach any kind of reward in the afterlife. They would
no salvation.
Basically going to hell.
Yeah.
And that's not a goal that you wanted to achieve. That's not a good place to be. Especially those of you who watch Supernatural. Nobody wants to hang out with Crowley. He's not a nice guy.
Who is Crowley?
I have been compared to Crowley. He's Badger from Firefly. But I don't
know. Wait, Badger?
Yeah, like the first episode, the guy with the little hat, the short guy, British.
Dude, I gotta watch it again, man.
Anybody needs to watch it. Firefly.
Limerick and Gujon need to watch it. Gujon.
It's a good
show.
If they
would stay around for like an hour or so, you know.
Yeah, but that clearly is not.
Our friend, I'll tell you what, man.
It's feeling a little empty here. But anyway, so the Spanish Crusade, yes, many torture methods used, especially the worst, in my belief, would be the flaying. Where they peel the skin from the flesh of a person while they're alive, skin them completely. If you were in an outdoor club, you remember Mr. Woods doing a squirrel on the desk in the front of his room. I'll leave that to you kids to figure out whose desk that was, because I will say I never sterilized that afterwards. Peeling the skin from the person. And all they would have to do is just admit that they were Muslim and they wanted to convert to Christianity, but no one did that, really. And it wasn't just Muslims. Anyone who was a non-Christian.
Jews.
It's a bad time period for Christianity.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, Jews, Muslims, all of them were kind of persecuted. They were tortured and say, get out of Spain, get out of Europe. If you don't, we will fillet you. We will torture you. We will kill you. And people tend to forget this. And, you know, they compare it to today. And they say, you know, a lot of people just kind of, well, they just don't compare it to today. They just kind of forget about today. They say, oh, that stuff never happened. Christians would never do that. But in reality, we have people killing in mass numbers because of religion. You know, hey, believe in what I say or I'll kill you. And it's exactly what's happening. You know, people may not like to hear that said. People may not like to hear that told. They don't, whatever. But in reality, it actually is true. You know, Christians, Muslims, they kind of have a long history of killing and, you know, abusing and torturing throughout their history. And people just kind of accept that. But the Crusades kind of go
like
on.
This meme that you can't really see. But it says, violence is caused by video games. Please let me know what video game people were playing in the past about 3,000 years.
Everyone's trying to take Jerusalem back because it's the Holy Land, because it's valuable to what religion, Mr. Woods? Just one religion?
Well, if we were to pick one as Christians, we would say Christian, the Christianity. But you can also say that Jerusalem is a valuable resource for Islam as well as Judaism.
So, and why is that?
Well, because you have, for Christianity, it's the land where Jesus was preaching and also executed. For Islam, it's where Muhammad did his preaching. And
his calisthenics.
Yes, his calisthenics. He was a yoga, I believe. Oh, no, sorry, that was Buddhism.
He's a yoga instructor.
So that's where Muhammad ascended to heaven. And also
the Dome of the Rock.
Yeah, the Dome of the Rock. And the same area where Abraham was set
to. Lincoln, right?
Yes, of course. He was set to execute some zombies. I mean, vampires. Wait a second. Wait, what movie is this? Oh, sorry. You're talking about Abraham from the Bible.
Yes, not that Abraham Lincoln. Not the one that killed zombies.
No, I would hate to mix those up. And yes, children, if you're questioning us, there is an Abraham Lincoln versus zombies movie. Watch Netflix, please.
In case you're wondering, not actually based on true events.
Yeah,
even though it might say it is, it's not based on true events. Please do not be that delusional. But there are several other crusades. We're not going to talk about them because they don't really matter that much. But they're really the crusades that you need to know. Are the first, second...
One through four.
We know the Christians won the first, second, Muslims, third, truce, fourth, Christians attacked Christians, and then it ended. Well, not really ended, but it continued on.
The major crusades were sort of over at that point. I mean, after that, there are battles between... But it's mainly in North Africa at that point. After, really, the fourth crusade, they sort of move away from the Holy Land to, oh, let's attack the Berbers of North Africa, and then... Let's attack the Moors of Spain. They sort of lose focus of the initial goal.
Berbers?
Berbers is the name for Muslims in North Africa.
I never knew that. Actually, I did know that, but Berbers just sounds funny.
It does. It's fun to say. Berber. And that's it.
A little bit better. We're trying to work on our ending theme song. Trying to make it as dark as possible. All right, goodbye.